So based on what we know right now, how do you think the risk-benefit ratio compares, let's say, in a BEV-eligible patient, adenocarcinoma, for example, in terms of chemo-BEV versus chemo-cetuximab?
Well, you know, they're very different risks. From the standpoint of tolerability, there's no question the bevacizumab is much better tolerated in the majority of patients. But for the 2% that are going to bleed and have a fatal bleed, that's the ultimate toxicity. So it's pick which risk you want to take. You can have the small chance of a fatality. And I think it's probably, if you select, if you're sure you don't take anyone who's bleeding and you're careful, you can probably bring that down even a little bit lower than 2%. But still, you've got to tell someone there's about 2% chance that you'll bleed. And once that happens, there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. There really isn't much therapy. Versus someone who can be on bevacizumab for 3 or 4 years, and they're hiking and they're traveling and they feel great. Versus if you use cetuximab, where you're guaranteed to have a rash, where you're going to have some fatigue, where you're going to have weekly visits. So I think it's much more difficult to give cetuximab. There is the risk of an anaphylactic reaction, but that's unless you live in a certain part of the southeast where there's a belt, you know, where patients are much more sensitive to the drug, where the risk of that severe reaction could be between 10 and 15%. It's really less than 1%. And as long as you're getting it in a major center that can deal with an anaphylactic reaction, and almost anyone who gives chemotherapy is able to do that. We see that with the cremophore drugs as well. I think it's safer. It doesn't have that grade 5, that death associated with it, but it does have other complications.
I guess that's starting to get worked out in terms of identifying an antibody and even an assay or a serum assay that will predict who these patients are.
Right. There's some very nice science done by the group at Vanderbilt to figure that out. There isn't a formulation that can be used in those patients, but at least you know who not to try it on.